Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. There's going to be a encouragement, a challenge during the message about basically doing the Lord's will, following the Lord because he's our king. He owns us, you could say. And I'm going to encourage you to be proactively involved with witnessing and sharing your faith. And while this may not be a witnessing tool, it is an invitation tool to the Assembly of God Church here. And we're going to be handing these out to you if you are willing to participate by giving someone an invite to our church. And I think you'll appreciate it. These little round to-its, they're quite witty. And I thank Tom and Mary Lee for putting the order in for us. And we're going to probably end up getting more because they're going to go out fast. But use them and invite your friends, your neighbors, your family to come and hear the Word of God. Don't let that be your only way of encouragement. Share the Word with them as an individual, as a friend. But this might be an easy way to get the door open. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18 is where we're going to start. And the reason I'm reading this passage is because we're going to be talking about the fact that we are kingdom people. We are kingdom people. In other words, Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Amen? He is the one that is in charge. He is God over all things. Father God, Jesus, Holy Spirit are one, but they have different ways of expressing, I should say, he has a different way of expressing himself through Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And we understand the concepts in our humanity. That's why God uses these kinds of terms. But here we have a picture of what it was like before Jesus and what it is like through him being our king in this kingdom of God. Verse 18, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast or such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them. Think about back when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments and all the commandments. What did the people do? They said, cover your face. We can't even look at you. Why? Because you're glowing. You're glowing. You've got the radiance of God. We can't look at you. So they actually told him to cover his face. And there are times throughout history that people say, stop. I can't take it. It's too much. The presence of God is too awesome. And just the reality of this awesomeness of God is expressed here. That the people literally said that they didn't want to hear anymore, stop speaking, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. How incredible is that, the holiness of God? And here we are in God's house as the temples of his Holy Spirit. Let that sink in. The presence of God is in you if you are born again. You are the very presence of God's holiness. And we have this picture of the Old Testament and this kingdom of God being expressed in such a way that it's even terrifying for the people at the time. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. When he saw the Lord, he was trembling with fear, the presence of God. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. Something's changed here. Jesus has done something new. It's a new testament. It's a new covenant, you could say. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, or complete is a better word, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood of that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. This sprinkling of the blood causes a miracle in your life that you are now holy. You are now clean. You are white as snow. There's something new happening here. Something that's different than it was before is what he's trying to get across. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. Is the Lord speaking to you? Don't refuse him. Don't refuse him. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? We have the Holy Spirit here with us. challenging and directing and leading and guiding and speaking into our lives. If the people of the Old Testament who did not have the indwelling presence of God, they did not have the Holy Spirit here the way he is today, and they refused and they were punished, how much more so will you receive that as one who knows him? Whoa! At that time, his voice shook on earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. We are in these last days, aren't we? The day will come and the heavens will shake. Verse 27. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. Guess what? Your world cannot be shaken. I heard a uh-huh, and now an amen. Your world cannot be shaken. Come on. You are living in God's world. This world of earth and dirt and grass and green and animals and all the stars, the sun, the moon, all these things in outer space, and they can't build a telescope big enough to see the end of the universes. They keep discovering more. They're wondering, where does it end? Well, I'll tell you, it doesn't. It's infinity. Why? Because he can. That's why. Isn't that cool? God's like, you want to see something cool, guys? Angel's like, yeah, what you going to do? Watch this. Whoa! Why'd you do that, Lord? Because I can. I know. Someday we're going to have a great conversation up there when we're face to face like that. Right now, if he stood before me face to face in all his glory, I'd die. I mean, John, who was his best friend on earth, according to historians, he fell over as if he were dead. He passed out. Read the first chapter of Revelation. Jesus is like, hey, it's only me. It's only me. Alpha, Omega, it's me. Come on, John, I got some things to tell you. Okay. Whoa, glory of God is here. Think about it. Your world cannot be shaken because your kingdom is not of this world. Your kingdom is his world. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have this idea that we have a compartmentalized God. We have the God of the Old Testament, and we have the God of the New Testament. No, he is the same God. However, the grace of God has been poured out in these last days. And he has sent his Spirit to be with us, to convict us, to lead us to himself, and to remove the sin from our lives but through his power and his glory. And we have a new covenant, a new testament. But the same God that judged harshly then will be judging harshly in these last days. And he is a consuming fire. He is a jealous God. He is a loving God, but he's also a God of justice. Where is the awe that he so rightly deserves? Where is the reverence? Christianity is not a faith of convenience. I'm going to say it again because we need to hear that today. All the churches of our nation need to hear that today. I don't know if we need to go to some of these other worlds and tell them. They already know. Because if they're caught, they're dead. They're stoned. They're executed. They're kicked out of their homes. Their provisions, all their belongings are taken from them. Why? Because the law is on their side. The infidels, the Christians, must be destroyed. The people in other parts of our world, they know that God and Christianity are not anything about convenience. But we need to be taught that because we think that convenience is our number one priority in Christianity. No. If church is convenient for you, you're probably doing it wrong. Boy, there's a pin drop going on here. Come on. Come on. Christianity is not a faith of convenience. It is a life of sacrifice. Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us that. You are a living sacrifice. Every day you breathe, it's a sacrifice. But it's worth it. It's worth the peace that you have that you can't even explain because no words could. It's worth the joy that's so awesome that nothing can really get you down. Even though the world is falling apart, your kingdom is not shaken. We are part of God's kingdom, not this world. Never take lightly the call of God on your life, and never take lightly the fact that you belong to the King. I'm going to say something that's a little bit radical and somewhat controversial, and I'm just going to say it because it's been in my heart for many, many years. You have no rights. You gave those up when you sacrificed your life for the sake of Christ. You said, I die, you live. I'm yours. I give you my heart. I give you my agenda. I give you my life. You have no rights. He owns you. And it's so awesome. You know, when things don't seem to go right and I'm following God, I'm like, this one's yours. Yeah. It's pretty special. And God, he said, yeah, I know. That's mine. We talked in Sunday school about this powerful message that Paul preached. And the group that listened, they heard the same message, but they were divided. Because some decided to close up their ears and close their eyes. They didn't want to hear anymore. Because if they opened their eyes and they listened, they would have been saved. They would have repented. They would have received the wonderful gift of salvation. But they intentionally and purposely closed their eyes, closed up their ears, and refused to turn from their wicked ways. That still happens. That's not on you. That is not your responsibility. Your responsibility is the one telling them about God's awesome love. Let the Holy Spirit do the work. You are the messenger. He's the one that does the call. Live your life in honor of the King. That's the challenge. You are kingdom people. Live your life in honor of the King. Let's talk about God's kingdom just a little bit. It won't take long. John chapter 18. John chapter 18. It's a great passage. Well, honestly, they're all great. Pastors always say that. Preachers always say, oh, this is a great one. They're all great, really. Even Leviticus? Well, somehow, some way, it's great. I haven't quite figured out how it's all great yet, but it's great. I'm sure it is. Hebrews 12, verse 18. We'll start there. Oh, I'm sorry. John chapter 18. I totally looked at something else. That's funny. John chapter 18, verse 36. It's real simple. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest. But now my kingdom is from another place. That's pretty cool. Just a side note. Do you like interesting, funny side notes in God's word? Just things that make you go, huh. I'm going to show you one of those. It's cool. Look at Luke with me. Luke chapter 22. Came across this one day, and I thought, huh, that makes sense. Luke 22, verse 35. Jesus asked them, this is just to set it up. Jesus asked them, when I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? Nothing, they answered. He said to them, verse 36. But now, if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloaks and buy one. Dum, dum, dum. It is written, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment. The disciples said, see, Lord, here are two swords. That is enough, he replied. Now, you're probably wondering, where are we going with this? I just said that my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my followers would have fought for me so that I would not be taken, right, by the Jews. And so now we have this setup. We need a couple. We need at least one sword. Is two? Yeah, two's enough. Okay, now jump ahead with me to verse 49. When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed them. Why did that have to happen? Because it was prophesied. Interesting, isn't it? You ever wonder why Peter jumped up there and sliced away? Well, I'll tell you why. Because Jesus said, we've got to have a sword. We got two of them. Is that enough? That'll do. And it's almost like after the occurrence happened, Jesus, whoa, 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 stop, 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 stop. And Peter, you know, Peter being Peter, jump first, ask questions later, right? Is that really you, Lord? Call me out there. I'll come. He walks into the water. He gets out there. Whoa, what am I doing? Bloop, starts to sink. That's Peter. I love Peter. I think we should all be more like Peter. I really do. We're so careful and so worried. Oh, what if I do it wrong? Come on, let's all be Peter. Oh, no, what's going on? Lord, should we do something? Oh, what? Wait. Oh, sorry, Lord. Oops. But hey, man, you said bring at least one sword. I got mine. I just think that's funny. It's almost like Jesus says, sorry, my bad. Here, I'll put that ear back. Just a little side note. John chapter 15, let's get back on track. I am a kingdom person, and Christ is my king. That's our point we're trying to get across. John chapter 15, verse 18 and 19. This is for all of us. I will set out and... Whoops, I'm in Luke. That is... I'm one of these human people. Okay. I'm almost there. You're all waiting on me. It's okay. If the world hates you, oh, that doesn't happen today. Wow. Much. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. This is not your world. Quit living as if it is. Get a little thicker skin, if you will. Huh? This is not your kingdom. God's kingdom is your kingdom. His kingdom cannot be shaken. This world shakes quite a bit. Let's be honest. Look at the politics going on today. Whoa. I mean, look at the whole bathroom scandal. I don't even know which bathroom to go in anymore. That's not true. I'm just being funny. I was at Rotary when we were still in Clark, South Dakota. I was part of that club. And it was so funny. Me and another friend of mine, he's a banker, or actually he's insurance. We're standing there, and we normally go by tables for food. And you know how important food is. So we're standing there, and the president totally ruined the method of tradition, and he said, ladies first. And I looked up at Dave, and he looked at me, and I said, I feel kind of like a woman right now. How about you? And he goes, I was thinking the same thing. We didn't do it. I should have. That would have been so funny. But then a pastor from the Assembly of God identifies as a woman for food. Probably would have made the paper front page. So I withheld from that temptation. John chapter 17. Verse 13. I am coming to you now. But I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy with them. This is Jesus talking to Father, God talking to himself through different personhood. It's just mind-boggling, but that's what's happening. Verse 14, I have given them, speaking about you guys, I have been given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is that you take them out of the world. My prayer is not, excuse me, not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. We are in a world that's full of evil, but guess what? Jesus is praying for you for protection. That's pretty cool. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may truly be sanctified. You are on a journey of sanctification. You are on a journey to be perfected, completed, absolutely wonderfully made in such a way that you are like Christ. That's the journey you're on. You haven't arrived yet. The reason you haven't, I know that you haven't arrived, is because you're still here.
Amen.
Amen? There's only two ways it can happen. One is I die, the other is the rapture. I'm going for the rapture. Every now and then I just might bring this up. We might practice our rapture jump just for fun. I do this every now and then. Of course, you don't always jump. For some reason, people sit there and look at me like I'm crazy. Someday we all get to fly, and I don't know if it'll help, but it'd be cool to be the first one up. Ah, ah, everybody else is, hey, I got you first. But someday you're going to be completed. You'll be fully sanctified. You'll be absolutely, beautifully, perfectly made. But it's going to happen when Jesus comes or we die. Philippians 2 tells us that every knee will bow to who? The King of Glory. To the glory of the Father. I am a kingdom person and Christ is my King. He's in charge. I don't have a whole lot of say in the matter. I do give counsel. I give my advice. And then I listen. Because he's the one that makes the final call. And I'm good with that. Sometimes I don't hear very well. I'll make a mistake. Sometimes, unfortunately, I'll make a bad choice and I'll get a little selfish. And I'll do it my way. Then I remember, oh yeah, you're king. I'm the pawn. I'm the little guy. And I'm okay with that. Jesus knows what's up. You can trust him. You can trust your king. Look at John 5 with me. John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus gave this answer, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does. God is not divided. Someone say amen. God is not divided. He is one. He is one. He's one Spirit. He is one Lord. He is one God. And yet we have this complex realization that he revealed himself as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But you got to understand, when you pray and you say, in Jesus' name, amen, you're saying the Father's will be done. There's not a magic formula to get your way. Jesus will only do what the Father leads him to do. He only does what the Father says to do. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. Verse 21, for just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. They are one. He is one. Jesus is one with Father, Holy Spirit. Do not get deceived by the idea that they function differently as far as the will goes. There's another place in Scripture that says that he only says what the Father says. Here we have, he only does what the Father does. John 14, let's jump ahead. John 14, verse 9. When you understand that Jesus only does what the Father does, only says what the Father says, we know that the Holy Spirit, which we're going to get to, teaches us all the things that Jesus said and teaches us all truth. They're one. He is one. This whole passage makes much better sense. John 14:9. Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe in the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory where? To the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Why is that? Jesus, I need $1 million. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Here it comes. Really? He won't do anything the Father doesn't say to do because it's all about bringing glory to the Father. He's my king. I am his servant. I follow my king. I pray to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when I pray, I want to know what his will is. Because Jesus taught me how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Honor and glory to God who is awesome. He really is the only awesome one. Amen. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, I will do what you say, Lord. I will not debate. I will not argue. I am on your side. Lord's will be done. We like to narrow our perspective. We like to get tunnel vision. We like to look at John chapter 14, and we like to look at verse 13. And I will do whatever you ask in my name. Ask anything in my name and I will do it. I like that. That's cool. But we forget that he had a lot of things to say before that about the Father and him being one. I am in the Father in me. If you did not believe me, you should at least believe by the miracles themselves. I did these because I want to show you the glory of God the Father. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is Master. And then we get to John 15, verse 15 and 16, and it's mind-blowing. John 15, verse 15 and 16. He says this. Grasp this unbelievable truth. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I have learned from my Father, there's Father again, by the way, that oneness, that on the same page, always doing the will together. From my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. You know, we have a lot of different things that we do in ministry, and they're important. We have a goal of making this church handicap accessible in a way that's better than the chair that's now working, by the way. Hallelujah. We're glad to have that. But we want to go above and beyond that. We want to see this church grow. Amen? But let me tell you, people don't get saved because we have a ramp with a two-door opening that's beautifully made. That's not going to bring salvation. It's the gospel that's being preached that brings salvation. Amen? So we want to bear fruit. And some of that fruit is going to be putting in a chairlift on that stairway. But I don't think the chair is going to save anyone. So as it is important, and I believe that, otherwise I wouldn't have really been leading and encouraging our board to see this direction that we want to go, I wouldn't have led that way if it wasn't important. But I want to make sure the fruit that I bear is eternal. It's not about convenience for people. It's about getting people here so they can hear the gospel, so that they can receive the discipleship that they need as new believers, so that they can grow in faith to bear fruit that will last. I know the Master's business. Whoa. King of kings, Lord of lords, creator, the one who said, "Let there be light." The Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, the one that died and rose again, He's your friend. But don't ever forget He is your King. You are chosen by Him. Wow. No, I'm not going to get into all the discussion of predestination. I believe in predestination, by the way. In some of the Assemblies of God, people get a little rattled when I say that. Well, where's free will? I have free will. Well, how does that work? I'm just going to say a real basic 101 type of statement, okay? I don't have the mind of God. Predestination is His business. He's the one that knows all things. He knows the beginning from the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, right? He's the one that has chosen and selected and created this thing that we can read in Ephesians, which is very, very specifically detailed about predestination. That's awesome. God has it all figured out. I don't. All I know is God said, go sow some seeds. And I said, okay. And I start throwing that seed of the gospel around, and dummy me, I put some on the road. What was I thinking? Well, I didn't know it was a road. I'm blind. I can't see a thing. I'm throwing seed over in the rocks, and well, who's going to try and seed the rock pile? I have lots of rock piles in my background. Not very smart. But guess what? I threw some seed over in the rock pile. Whoops. What'd you do that for? Because I don't know that's a rock pile. I'm totally blind. I'm just throwing seed, man. God said, spread the word. Preach the word to all peoples, nations, languages, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. It's up to God to decide how that all lands and grows. It's not my responsibility. He is sovereign. He knows. Jesus is my King. He says, go sow seed. I said, okay. What's He telling you to do? Do it. The Holy Spirit will lead you. And this is how we wrap it up. God is one. It's awesome. John 14, verse 26. Says the counselor, I like that phrase. Does the King James also say counselor? Anybody got the King James? Does he use the word counselor? I'm sorry, it's verse 26 of John 14. Helper. That's good too. I like that. Advocate. Comforter. There we go. Those are all good. They're all good. That's what the Lord does because He's living within you. Amen? In my particular translation here, I have the word counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. This spoken to the men that died because of their faith. Cruel, painful deaths. Murdered, martyred, if you want to use that term. And yet they knew the peace of God through it all. But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, will teach and guide. And He will help you. Well, what if I don't know what to say? What if I run out of words? Well, do you know Jesus? Well, yeah. Holy Spirit live in you? Yeah. Then trust Him. Holy Spirit's there for you. The counselor will teach you all things and will remind you of everything Jesus said. John chapter 16, verse 13 through 15. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. This is the same kind of talk that Jesus referred about himself. I only speak what the Father says to speak. I only do what the Father is doing. Holy Spirit will only speak what he hears from Father God, Jesus. It's one that's like, wow, it's amazing. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. The oneness of God. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. He will guide you into truth. And he will only speak to you what he hears because he is one. Isn't that, trying to grasp that, it's kind of like trying to grab a northern out of the lake by your bare hands. They're slippery. Trying to grasp this truth, it's a little slippery. Like, whoop, I almost had it there. God is three in one. He's chosen to reveal himself as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He works as one. You will not see God divided. He is your king. And you need to serve him with all your heart. I like this phrase. I wrote it down. I am a kingdom person and Jesus is my king. May it be so for all of us. Amen? I'm thankful to know that this world is not my home. As much as I really do love Glendive, this isn't my home. My kingdom is not of this world any more than it's of your world. It's God's kingdom. Amen? But we have a responsibility. God did not take us out of the world. He left us here. Thanks, Lord. He left us here to do his bidding as servants and friends. And I want to encourage you to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. He will not steer you wrong. I've given my life to another, to the Lord Jesus, and I look forward to the day when I will see him face to face. It's good to be reminded that we are to live in submission to God to further his kingdom by our service. We are wrapping up next week this series. By the way, this is part of the series, Knowing and Doing the Will of God. I've preached quite a few messages with that as the theme. And we're getting close to the end of that series. But I wanted you to realize this world is not yours. This kingdom that is in this world is not yours. Your kingdom is the kingdom of God. Live in such a way that it's obviously known not only to the people around you, but to your own spirit. It will change you. The things that used to bother you won't even bother because you're like, well, it's not my problem. That's the Lord's. He'll take that one. Because they didn't hate me first. They hated him first. But he's praying for me. He's interceding on my behalf as he is yours. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me?